Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Bringing the heat each and every day. Happy Too Damn Friday, everybody. It's Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Janae Agwumike. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline, and we got some great ones today. Jordan Cornette going to help get us ready for the weekend. Field Yates, our ESPN NFL insider. Monica McNutt going to stop by with us, help preview the women's tournament for this weekend. And Josiah Johnson going to step into the building right now. Proud UCLA alum as we get ready for the weekend, Janae.
Let's go. Happy Friday, everybody, and happy early Easter as well. And best T-shirt award goes to Michael Jr., who is donning, if you're watching on ESPN Plus, an LA Sports T-shirt.
We're ready. We're ready and holding it down. We are ready for the start of the 2021 WNBA season out here. The Janae Agwumike jersey will be in the works.
We don't have to like search for a team to root for, right? A collective show team. We've got that figured out, because I know yesterday we settled on the San Diego Padres as our team for the MLB season. But now we all agree that it's all about sporks.
It is all about the sporks for the upcoming 2021 WNBA season. So we are West Coast vibes out there, and we might not be the only one soon, depending on where you're looking at. We mentioned guests. Jeff Passan, our ESPN MLB insider, going to join us here any minute in this segment, because we have major breaking news, as you heard from Doug Brown in our Sports Center update. Major League Baseball announcing not too long ago today that it's moving the 2021 All-Star Game and 2021 MLB Draft out of Atlanta in protest of a new Georgia law that has raised concern about its potential and potential to disproportionately disenfranchise minority voters. This bill was just passed through very rapidly in Georgia by their governor. And in a statement, Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred said the league is, quote, finalizing a new host city and details about the event to be announced shortly. Said, over the past week, we have engaged in thoughtful conversations with clubs, former and current players, and the Players Association and the Players Alliance, among others, to listen to their views. I have decided that the best way to demonstrate our values as a sport is by relocating this year's All-Star Game and MLB Draft. And Shanae, I know you and I were both kind of shocked, because Major League Baseball is not traditionally the league we think of being forward-thinking and out in front on issues that are pertain to social issues in this country.
Yeah, and I think what you're seeing now is, while it may not be at the top or even at the leadership positions, maybe owners, who knows what the priorities are there, the players' solidarity and what they want to accomplish over the course of the season is showing. And this is not new, because we've seen the NBA do something very similar. In 2017, the All-Star Game in Charlotte was moved because of an anti-LGBT law that was called House Bill 2, that basically banned local municipalities from enacting non-discriminatory ordinances based on, you know, gender and sex and all that type of stuff. And so that was moved in 2017. And then they, you know, Adam Silver said, hey, we will have the All-Star Game in 2019 if there is progress made, against that type of stuff. And so now we're seeing this not only happen a couple years ago in the NBA, it's happening right now in MLB.
It is happening right now, and you're right. There was that precedence with what was called in North Carolina the bathroom bill shortly there in the NBA response. But for more on Major League Baseball's response to the bill signed into law this past week by Georgia Governor Brian Kemp, we head now to the Goodyear Hotline for some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, as our ESPN MLB insider Jeff Passan joins us now. And Jeff, we know we just received this announcement, but from what you heard, how long have these conversations been going on about potentially moving the All-Star Game in response to this bill?
Mike, these conversations have been happening for a while now. Honestly, almost since the signing into law of the bill by Brian Kemp. And Major League Baseball was trying to figure out not just what the consequences of staying would be, but what the consequences of leaving would be. And to weigh those two and try and figure things out, I think ultimately they felt like they wanted to do the right thing. And I think the right thing in this case also happens to align with some issues that they would have had they not done it. Envision a scenario in which Mookie Betts says, I'm not going to the All-Star Game because Major League Baseball does not support voting, and especially in this case does not support the people who it affects most, which are disproportionately people of color. Imagine other black players doing the same thing. Imagine the narrative that baseball does not support black players being put out there and having a prime example of how that clearly is the case. I don't think Major League Baseball wanted that. I think in the end, it recognized that not only would this be the right thing to do to follow the NBA with the All-Star Game in Charlotte, to follow the NFL with the Super Bowl in Arizona, I think it was also the prudent thing to do in terms of making sure that your sport as you go forward is not seen as this anachronistic game that is stuck back in the 1940s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s.
You're absolutely right. Jeff Passan, ESPN MLB insider, joining us here on Chanae and Golic Jr. based on the breaking news that was just announced that the MLB is moving the 2021 All-Star Game out of Atlanta, basically in protest of a new Georgia law that has raised concerns about its potential to disproportionately disenfranchise minority voters. And Jeff, you're absolutely right, because, you know, after Dave Roberts joined our show here on Chanae and Golic Jr., manager of the Dodgers, he credited Mookie Betts for having those conversations over the summer of 2020 before they won. Mm-hmm. And so these conversations are not new, but what does this say right now? Because like we're, you know, Junior acknowledged, you know, the NBA, this is stuff that I guess, you know, based on the way that the league is represented, 80% black in the W, 75% in the NBA, what does it say about baseball right now overall?
I think it says that baseball recognizes that in the Players Alliance, there's a very powerful coalition of people whose opinions need to be heard. And historically in baseball, Chanae, have not been heard. And, if we're looking at what's happening in sports right now and the revolution that's going on, and I do not use that word idly. I think there is a revolution going on in sports right now where power has gone so much to the players because they have taken it. And in baseball, for the longest time, players did not want to involve themselves in politics, did not want to involve themselves in social issues. They wanted to play the game. They wanted to do that because if you look throughout any clubhouse, especially with black players, it has dwindled throughout the years to the point where in baseball, if you speak out, if you try and do something, you're looked at as being bigger than the game. And that's the worst moniker that someone can have attached to him inside of baseball. And yet I think that baseball players were inspired by what they've seen in the past year and recognize that if they don't try and advocate for themselves, if they don't try and advocate for things that they believe in, that the machine and the way that it has worked up to this point is not going to stop. You got to throw a wrench in it. And I think that the Players Alliance did a phenomenal job of explaining to people at Major League Baseball why this matters. And it wasn't complaining, and it wasn't, it wasn't just idle chatter, and it wasn't illogical. It was straightforward, to the point, and compelling enough where, listen, there's plenty, and I mean plenty, of conservatism in Major League Baseball. On the political spectrum, the sport leans very far to the right. So to see the argument be strong and compelling enough to convince many in people in positions of power that this is the right thing to do, that's why it surprised me. And I think it's pleasantly surprising to know that baseball is putting its money where its mouth is. When Rob Manfred and all the general managers last year are saying Black Lives Matter at the draft, when they're doing things on opening day to stand together, to show solidarity toward the idea that black people have been mistreated in this country, to turn around and not do something like this would have been catastrophic for the sport, because it would have shown just how they took that moment and tried to use it rather than actually believing in it.
Jeff, we only got about a minute left here, but you mentioned some of the players taking some of that power here in a sport where we haven't often seen that. Do you have an idea of some of the key voices that have made these concerns known from inside the current players?
I know that at the Players Alliance, Curtis Granderson and CeCe Sabathia, both retired players, but people who are still very active in baseball and want to make positive changes, had conversations with people at the league that were seen as very powerful and very compelling. And, you know, when you have guys like Granderson and Sabathia, extraordinarily intelligent guys, and beyond their intelligence, guys who have been excellent baseball players. These are not fringy guys. CC Sabathia, a borderline Hall of Famer, Curtis Granderson, you know, multi-time All-Star. Like, these are dudes. And when their voices come with as much passion and logic as they did, it's tough to ignore.
Jeff, you're the best. We appreciate the time and the insight on this as all of this is unfolding. We'll talk to you very soon,
all
right?
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
ESPN MLB insider Jeff Passan giving us the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. All right, certainly a lot to unpack with this decision. Jeff gave us some great information on there. We will do that as well as explore statements made yet again by a prominent NBA star that has drawn a lot of resistance and some understandable frustration. We'll do that next here on Chiney and Golo Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chiney and Golo Jr., the podcast.
Chiney and Golo Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and more at progressive.com. Jordan Cornette's going to stop by and get us a preview for the men's Final Four getting started on Saturday this weekend. In about 10 minutes, we'll have plenty more on Major League Baseball and their decision to move the 2021 All-Star Game and Draft from Georgia in response to a new bill that was passed there. But, Chiney, we also got to respond to something else because Draymond Green, who had come out and said some things about what he believes that the WNBA and women's basketball need to do to see their sport grow in the ways that everybody wants, was back at it again. This is the sound from Draymond Green, Warriors forward, at his press conference after one of their games, talking about what he's heard in response to his last comment and what he still believes that women's basketball players need to do to see their sport improve.
I was hoping people didn't take it the wrong way. Obviously, some people did. Whatever. You know, if you can't read what I said and understand, that's your personal business. But, you know, I'm really tired of seeing them complain about the lack of pay because they're doing themselves a disservice by just complaining, you know. And
They're not just complaining.
Huh?
They're not just complaining, really.
But they are, because they're not laying out steps that they can take to change that. And so it's coming off as a complaint because the people that can change it, they're just going to continue to say, well, the revenue isn't there. The revenue isn't there. So if you don't bring in the revenue, we can't up your pay. They're going to keep using that. But the reality is, as true as that is, it's an excuse because everyone says, we support women. We support women empowerment. We support women in the workplace. We do this for women. We do X for women, blah, blah, blah. And everyone uses it to their advantage. Yet these women are not using these people that are saying those very things to their advantage. So then it just becomes a complaint that falls on deaf ears.
That was in an interview with Kylan Mills in there. And Chiney, the floor is yours on this one.
Yeah, that was Kareth Burke, an amazing woman that I've got to work with multiple times. And I find it ironic that this week where I helped celebrate the Golden State Warriors Women's Empowerment Week, where they had the first all-female broadcast on radio there with Kareth, who you saw in the video on ESPN Plus. I find it ironic where we're celebrating how women have pushed boundaries. One of the players, unfortunately, Draymond Green, while I understand his heart and his intention, just seems wildly misinformed as to what women are saying. And there are so many things during that whole conversation, I guess you can call it dialogue, that I was like writing down as he was talking, Junior. One being tired of seeing us complain. The reality is, anytime you see women's sports, I ask anyone to go to social media when a woman athlete is being posted what the comments are. It's not about what the post is celebrating the achievements and accomplishments of women, but what the trolls and people that don't understand where the game is or where it can go or just how you support women say are those complaints. So the complaints aren't coming from us. The complaints are coming from people that are ignorant to where our game is currently. The lack of pay, if you checked anything a year and a half ago when we ratified our new CBA in 2020, those complaints which were, mind you, internal by our players, right, were addressed because we now have, for the first time, six-figure average salary for WNBA players. Top players can make almost $500,000 in the W. A lot of people saw that CBA as a groundbreaking achievement, not just for women in sports or women basketball players, but women, period. So if you understood and actually went outside of your comfort zone and researched what strides are being made in women's sports, and start no further than the current NCAA tournament where the women are the most interesting storyline, maybe that will inform you as to where the game is going and where structurally these players who had held these sponsors, the NBA included, you know, now we get that investment where literally yesterday I was wearing a Bet on Women t-shirt, right? Like, the NBA heard us and delivered in a way as a partner you would hope. And now we're challenging many other brands. Now, it's funny because the loudest voices, they have a lot of opportunity to sway culture. And unfortunately, this loud voice is drowning out the voices of a multitude that are right, the women that are actually saying, these are not our complaints. The steps to change that, we are practicing these steps each and every day. The problem is we don't have equity in the rooms where these decisions or these decisions are made a top priority. And so, like, it just is really tough to hear, oh, revenue and complaints about pay. That's not what's happening. That's what society uses as a trope to keep women down. Instead, the actuality is the game is poised to grow. Look at any metric or study. Check out the Deloitte studies that have been out there where people say women's sports are the greatest indicator of growth amongst the landscape of sports. And so if you did that research and that homework, you would understand exactly why you're misinformed to that point of view. And that to me is really unfortunate because he has the women in mm-hmm. his corner, myself included, Junior, that could help change that narrative for him so that when he steps to the mic, it wouldn't be sound like this. Instead, use your platform to actually address and amplify what we have been doing. Obviously, the list can go on and on, but bro.
No, I can't imagine how frustrating it is because that was the first thing I thought of in this spot, Chiney, was he has such proximity to people who would help him with this conversation if he wants to have it.
And myself, Day-Day, hit me, bro. I got you. Come on.
And this is after already he posted all of those things on Twitter about this, and I'm sure heard from a number of women in the WNBA, heard from a number of women athletes in that spot, and appeared to not internalize it because speaking your mind is fine and having good intentions. But being loudly wrong, like you said, can be dangerous because it gives the wrong people a lot of ammo in this spot. And quite frankly, the tone in this was rather antagonistic. Like, dude saying, I'm tired of hearing this. To my response is always, you don't think the women are more tired of having to constantly fight for this dude? Like, well, that's the frustrating thing for me, Chiney, is that a lot of, like, these things right here, like, imagine if this was a white person saying this to Draymond Green about an issue that was important to the black community, how ridiculous that would sound to say, I'm tired of hearing black people complain about this. And so to turn around and levy that same form of criticism against
through
women
gender.
In this spot through gender is...
When you have an opportunity to change and help change that narrative, instead you're barking about how we're not doing enough work when that's what we've committed our lives to. Like, that just is.
Yeah.
Help me. It's Friday. Help me, Junior.
I can only imagine. So, again, as this has doubled back and Draymond Green makes those comments, we'll hear actually from your sister, Neko Gumake, who's the president of the WNBA Players Association, in a little bit here, who had some strong words to also come back to what we have heard from Draymond Green in this spot. But it is Friday. We are going to try to still enjoy ourselves and have some joy going into the weekend. We got Stanford Women's Hoops tipping off during the show, which is going to be a great challenge for our co-host, Chiney Agumake. But coming up next, let's get you ready for the men's tournament that's going to start the Final Four on Saturday with our good friend Jordan Cornette from the ACC Network. We'll do that next here. Chiney and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming on ESPN+.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chiney and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chiney Agumake. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline, and we are excited to get a lot more Notre Dame in the building today. Yeah, Stanford women are actually playing in the tournament later today, but we're not going to let facts get in the way of a good story. Jordan Cornette, our ESPN college basketball analyst, doing great stuff over at the ACC Network, kind enough to join us. Jordan, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. I really appreciate it. I feel like this speaks more to the friendship I have with you, Gojo, and Chiney, that you guys are having me on here, because I have led you astray throughout this entire tournament. With every round, telling you the wrong picks. I promise I'll do better today. I promise.
Hey, fresh slate today, okay, Jordan?
Yes. That's exactly how I'm looking at it, Chanae. It's like, I can't get these wrong, can I? Well, I guess we'll see.
Well, you know what, Jordan? This is a show that loves to live in locker rooms. We all played in them. Jordan was a great college basketball player at Notre Dame. We share that alma mater. And everyone knows, next play mentality. So we don't worry about what happened already. We're moving on to the next play. So, Jordan, as we move on to the next play in the Final Four this weekend, is there any reason to believe that it's not Gonzaga and Baylor tipping it off for the title on Monday?
There's reason to believe that they will play closer than you'd imagine in these games. I think that's the best I can do here in terms of trying to give you a reason to watch a Gonzaga-UCLA game, seeing what Gonzaga's done to team after team throughout this tournament. But UCLA will control the pace of a game against most opponents that aren't Gonzaga. It's easy to say we want to control pace, but when you're playing world beaters like the Zags, it's a different story. If they can manage to make it a grinded out game, maximize possessions, UCLA will be able to score the ball. But can they keep Gonzaga out of transition? Can they make Gonzaga work to score in a half court a little bit more than they've had to all season long? It's 14.5. That's what the Zags are favored in this game. I do think it plays a little bit closer. I don't see Gonzaga running away with that game. Of course, I see them winning it, but I think it'll be an entertaining game. And on the other side, Houston and Baylor, wow, if the officials don't play a role, tuck the whistles and let them play. They talk about guard play in March winning. You've got six elite guards, three from each side in that one. And I think that one could be very close. I'm not willing to gift Baylor that one. I could see Houston upending them, but I've got Baylor ultimately winning that one. I think it's best for college hoops that these two teams play in the end.
Jordan Cornette hanging with us on this great Friday as we are excited for the Final Four. Women kicking off tonight and then the men tomorrow. And we ask, and I try to like spend the last minute, Junior, remembering who, but I can't remember who is going to be the most impactful player on the floor in the Final Four. The answer was Jalen Suggs. I wish I could remember who told us that, but it's been a long week, Jordan. Who would you say is the most impactful player? Like, who's going to be that person when they take the floor?
You know, I'd have to look at it and say Davion Mitchell. To me, it would be the most impactful guy because he's a two-way player. He has the ability to be the most talented guy on the floor in every game that remains in the final two, even if it's Gonzaga on the other side. Suggs is incredibly talented, will be the number one pick. But just because Davion's not that level of NBA prospect doesn't mean he's not that level of talent on the floor in a 40-minute college game. And I just think when he's taking over, making the defense attempt to keep him in front, something that is nearly impossible with his physicality but his burst as well, with how he guards his shot-making ability. They talk about pace setters for the team and Mark Vitals in a lot of ways, that guy for Baylor. But I really think it's Davion Mitchell. I think when he's impacting the game on both sides, guys take cues from him. Jared Butler feels more confident. Flagler feels more confident. Teague shoots it with more confidence. I look at Davion and I say, if he can be that dude, watch out for Baylor.
Okay, before we transition to the big storylines based on the news that we saw with UNC yesterday and Coach Roy Williams retiring, I want to ask you your predictions, okay? Jordan Cornette joining us on Chanae and Golic Jr., ACC Network analyst, college basketball hooper, former and current. I feel like you haven't retired yet. You can still get buckets. All right, here's the fresh slate. Who is going to, per your estimation, win the Final Four? And I love a women's submission as well.
Oh, you know, for me, I definitely have to say on a men's side, I think it's Baylor. Because this whole time I've believed that there are teams that could beat Gonzaga. And when I look at teams that could beat Gonzaga, I say, are they physical? Do they guard you? Can they score points? Are they strong with the basketball? Can they take care of it while generating turnovers? And I just feel like that's that team. I said to you guys earlier, obviously, well documented, I thought it'd be Illinois. It obviously wasn't Illinois. But because Baylor's team still left, I believe it's going to be Baylor. On the other side, I look at UConn, and I just feel like, yeah, there's Paige Beckers, and she's incredible, but I also look at how UConn can dominate in the paint and how they can do it. I love watching the freshman, it's Aaliyah Edwards, and what she's able to do down low, and I just think the balance, there's not a ton of depth. They're only playing about six people, but those six are dangerous, and I think UConn defensively, they've improved substantially, limiting their opponents to below 70 since late January. So I look at UConn's ability to guard their inside out. And I think UConn on the other side, I know I'm picking the front runner, but I've been impressed with more than just Paige Beckers on that UConn team.
All right, great predictions there, and a bold man to come here and say that in Stanford country on this show.
I'm sorry. I mean, I really respect it.
Unbiased stuff. I respect it.
Absolutely respect it. Jordan, before we let you go, we know yesterday a big day in the ACC saw you on the coverage of the ACC Network as Roy Williams announced his retirement. You were at Notre Dame right when he was getting to North Carolina. So what's his impact on college basketball summed up by you?
I think it's incredible for a guy to replace, not immediately, but ultimately follow in the shadows of Dean Smith, his mentor. Obviously, he stepped in for Matt Doherty there, but Dean Smith was North Carolina basketball. There's no way anybody could live up to that. Well, I think Roy Williams may have surpassed that in his 18 seasons. In his 18 years there, nobody won more games, nobody went to more Final Fours, nobody won more national championships. Roy Williams was elite. And the fact that he said he wanted to leave because he felt like he was no longer the guy for the job, I disagreed with him, but I saw the correlation and the tie there to Dean Smith. Dean Smith said the same thing in 1997. He felt like he was no longer the right guy for the job, although people were like, wait, Dean, you are the guy. Don't leave, please. The same pleas were thrown out there for Roy Williams, who made the same proclamation, and albeit I think it was a little premature, but he was following in the footsteps of Dean Smith, doing it the same way Dean would. He always cringed anytime anybody made comparisons with him to Dean because of the reverence in which he held Dean Smith. But in all reality, you could make the argument that he surpassed Dean Smith in his time there. Ultimately, Chiné Gojo, I know you'll appreciate this as much as anybody. Us having been athletes, us now covering athletes, it's always great to see the elite performers. And when you walk away from them, you go, wow, what a great human being. What just a kind, sweet spirit. And that was Coach Roy Williams anytime I was around him. I left with a smile or a laugh and always felt like my day was better because of him. Nobody will replace Roy Williams there, but nobody was as good as a dude either. And I think that's important to note as well.
Strong stuff, as always, from our guy Jordan Cornette. Follow him on Twitter, at Jordan Cornette. Check him out all over the ACC Network and on Game Day on ESPN Radio with his wife and our friend Shea Cornette each and every Sunday. Jordan, you're the best, man. We'll talk to you soon, all right?
I pray I get these right, Gojo and Chiné. I pray.
He just said Gonzaga's going to win.
Yeah, I was going to say, we appreciate it, Jordan. Jordan Cornette's brought to you by Wendy's, proud sponsor of the 2021 John R. Wooden Men's and Women's Player of the Year. All right, we've got a relocated Major League Baseball All-Star game, but not more importantly, that's the biggest story of the day by far, but we also had Boo Birds come out big time last night in a spot that we were told to not expect them. We'll get to that after this word from DraftKings.
You're right, Junior. We started our show with MLB News, and our official Chiné and Golic Jr. team, San Diego Padres, congratulations, which means grab your peanuts and popcorn. Baseball is back, baby. Last year's season sure was different, but that doesn't mean it lacked excitement. And this year is poised to be even better, y'all. DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports, is putting you, yes you, on the field with a free shot at share of millions of dollars in total prizes. It's so easy to play. Just pick 10 players, stay under the salary cap, and pile up points for hits, runs, strikeouts, and more. There's no better way to put your baseball knowledge to the test than to compete for a shot at millions of dollars throughout the week. With millions, you heard me, millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs this week, there is no better place to have skin in the game than with DraftKings. Download the DraftKings app right now and use promo code CJR to get a free shot at a share of millions of dollars up for grabs this week with your first deposit. That's promo code, in case you missed it, CJR, to get a free shot at share of millions of dollars with your first deposit. Only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Now, we just cleared opening day, but it was not smooth sailing for my hometown team, the Houston Astros. Boo! What does that sound mean for my team? Well, I guess they're not really my team, but sort of, kind of. Moving forward, we'll get to that right after this on Chiné and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live. Come watch us on ESPN Plus. Happy Friday.
Gemmer must have found a way to pay Draymond Green and everybody else off to keep making news when he keeps saying stuff that he shouldn't say in this spot. We will get to more of the NCAA falling short in just a little bit. Chiné and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chiné Agwumike. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and we're brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear more driven. And Janae, sitting around in this last break, we just saw some news from our ESPN NBA insider, Adrian Wojnarowski, who said the NBA is fining Kevin Durant $50,000 for social exchange with actor, sources tell ESPN. That back and forth, the screenshots of DMs with him and actor Michael Rapaport. So, Janae, this one pretty expected based on what the NBA is allowed to do.
Yes, per the NBA, this is the greatest amount you can fine a player for such category, meaning words used, whether it's on the court or off the court, that they find detrimental. And so I am not surprised. I think a lot of people saw the vitriol that Myers Leonard just went through with what he said. That was a word that was made public on his own platform. This was a different platform, so I think this made a lot of people hesitate. Like, oh, will the NBA fine? I think they set the right standard here, Junior, by saying, hey, it doesn't matter how these things come to fruition. You are a reflection of the brand, and now that's being held to a standard that is necessary so that no one feels ostracized when they're following the NBA.
Absolutely. We've seen this in the past. You mentioned Myers Leonard's fine. We all remember Kobe Bryant fined for using a homophobic slur while on the court. All of these things have been precedent for this situation. So this certainly expected, and you and I both said understandable given the way that this went down. But Janae, we've also been talking today about what's going on in Major League Baseball. And for anyone that hasn't heard, Major League Baseball announced that they are moving the MLB All-Star Game for 2021, as well as the 2021 MLB Draft, from Atlanta in response to a new voting bill passed in the state of Georgia by their governor that would severely, in some cases, people challenging, limit voter rights, limit voter ability, especially affecting people of color adversely as a result of that. And Janae, we now have a statement from the Atlanta Braves as well, the hometown team who was expecting to host these events. The Braves put out a statement saying, quote, "The Atlanta Braves are deeply disappointed by the decision of Major League Baseball to move its 2021 All-Star Game. This was neither our decision nor our recommendation, and we are saddened that fans will not be able to see this event in our city. The Braves organization will continue to stress the importance of equal voting opportunities, and we had hoped our city could use this event as a platform to enhance the discussion. Our city has always been known as a uniter in divided times, and we will miss the opportunity to address issues that are important to our community. Unfortunately, businesses, employees, and fans in Georgia are the victims of this decision. We will continue to support the community legacy projects which have been planned and are in process." So, Janae, certainly a lot to get to there, but surprising because this almost seems like a little bit of pushback from the Braves.
Yeah, it's surprising because we just had ESPN MLB insider Jeff Passan on, and he sort of talked about the demographics politically, you know, of MLB compared to other leagues. And so he knew that there is probably a large number of pushback potentially on this decision, and to hear and see of this in real time, not surprised based on that context that Jeff gave us. But at the same time, you wonder, all right, this is one team and the league is making a decision for the bigger picture. Just shows you the challenges that all parties are, you know, up against in this fight.
It's difficult, and that spot especially, that businesses, employees, and fans in Georgia are the victims of this decision. I think that part especially misses the mark because we know what this decision was made in part recognizing that they believe people of color in that state are being disproportionately targeted by these laws. They would be the true victims in this spot. But they are right, Janae. This is the unfortunate part of when we legislate punishment in sports, is like we see in college all the time. When you have postseason bans imposed on teams, it generally affects players that had nothing to do with whatever transpired in that spot. Much in the same way, this to send the message that Major League Baseball and its players, I'm sure, want to see sent. There are going to be people that unfortunately get caught up in this that didn't do anything wrong in that process.
And the best way to equate this situation with social justice in sports is that social justice is something that is a marathon. In the short term, the wins and the losses are the short sprints. And now you're seeing, the marathon that the MLB addressed in trying to uplift people from the human perspective. But then when you look at the short snippet, Junior, of, all right, an all-star, all the money that can come from that one event, you sort of have to always keep things in perspective, because the human quality of what is applied to people and representation, that's what the MLB is addressing, which we were surprised that they were actually doing something of this magnitude, honestly.
We were, and Major League Baseball addressed that, cognizant of how this would be received by their players, cognizant of how it would be received by black fans. The Atlanta Braves in this statement did not, and I'm surprised at the level of callousness they kind of showed coming out with that statement. So a lot more to digest as Major League Baseball makes that decision. But coming up next, NCAA President Mark Emmert met with some players, and the results were as expected. We'll get to why next on ESPN Radio and ESPN+.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.